You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But don't forget, with that $50 or more first-time deposit, you're also going to get that free CHGO membership, access to all of our great web content, and even a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Two grand in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker. All that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. Make sure you use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Friday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. And fellas, the hockey gods have smiled upon us one more time with some more breaking news over the last 24 hours. We've got new deals for Philip Kurashev. I blanked on his name. I wrote PK, and I'm like, PK, who's PK?
PK Subban is now a Blackhawk.
Breaking news.
Philip Kurashev.
$750,000.
Yep, 1 year, $750,000 for Kurashev. 1 year, $1.35 for Caleb Jones. We're going to get into that. Jeff Agris of the Sun-Times had a little update on the Blackhawks broadcasting search with Eddie Olczyk officially joining the Kraken on Thursday. Patrick Sharp's name is in the loop. Team USA won again. And the Blackhawks prospects were front and center, and we've got some other stuff to get to as well. So I think we start with the news of the day and get into the new deals. Not a huge surprise. We knew these were coming. Amy Jones, Seth and Caleb's mother, broke the news yesterday that Caleb had signed his one-year deal. The total cap hit $1.35 million. And like we said, Philip Kurashev, $750,000. Seems a little high for Caleb for me, a little low for Kurashev for me. So, cool.
You're basically
it all evens out.
$2 million on those players, which is completely fine with me.
Yeah,
yeah. I was the same way. I said I texted you guys when those deals came out. I said Kurashev seems a little low. That's like league minimum. I thought he played at a level that was a little bit more deserving than that. But I mean, again, the Caleb Jones being at 1.35, it evens out. Seems like I think that's more than Stillman makes, or is he 1.5?
Riley Stillman makes 1.35, so identical.
Oh, identical. Okay, yep. Well, there you go. So all your seventh defensemen make the same amount of money. So that's totally fine. Yeah, I don't think there's anything.
You can't scratch me and make more than him. Not anymore, pal.
Yeah. I think it's completely fine. 1 year deals. Nothing wrong with that. They gotta prove it. So, I'm happy with these.
Yeah, not too much to be upset about. I'm sure there are people who are, though. I'm sure there are people screaming to the high heavens that the rebuild is a failure because Caleb Jones is back. But those people are miserable, and thanks for listening. But yeah, though, Caleb is... It's fine. If he's your sixth or seventh defenseman, it's fine.
Seriously, you're right, though. Like, imagine being mad about Caleb Jones.
Right. Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, go out and get some fresh air. Yeah, take a walk. Outside.
Grab a coffee or something.
Go smell some flowers. Go lay down on some train tracks. Do something different.
Give your head a shake, as they say up north.
Give your balls a tug. Yeah, there's a lot of things to say.
Do something productive, yeah. Something positive. It's not the end of the world, folks.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, I like
the sun will still rise in the east tomorrow. It's gonna be all right.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned show me deal for Kurashev and Jones. Kurashev, interesting. trying to kind of, as we go in our head, as we look at the roster that's assembled, where does he fit? You know, what is Philip Kurashev's role? And we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show, but if what Scott Powers reported on Tuesday, that the plan is to start Lucas Reichel in Rockford this season, then he's going to be top six.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah. You know, there's not really a ton of other options up there, especially if Reichel's not there.
If Reichel's not there, your second center is what, Tyler Johnson?
Yeah.
Sheesh. So, yeah, I mean, Kurashev kind of bounced around the lineup last season, played pretty well in a short stint as a top six option. But, I mean, that was Derek King's vision for him. We'll see what Luke Richardson really, how he sees him fitting into the lineup. And we still have to go through training camp in the preseason. There could be someone, you know, that shows a lot of progression from last year to this year and really, you know, lights things up in camp and through the preseason and forces their way into a top six role that maybe we weren't expecting, like a Kurashev or maybe even Lucas Reichel does that. But yeah, I think Kurashev has a lot of versatility to him. He can play up or down in the lineup. He can play center. He can play wing. But you kind of figure out like what is he exactly? Like you said, Jay, like what is he? Is he just gonna bounce around the lineup, or is he gonna legitimately like hold on to a spot this season?
Yeah, I think that's the key for Kurashev this year is for Luke Richardson and his staff to define exactly what he is. Versatile is definitely a word they use to describe him, but you know, I think it was so inconsistent last year because he was, you know, you mentioned he had a couple of games playing top six towards the end of the year, and he actually produced. He had a couple assists, a couple of goals, looked decent out there.
Yeah,
it's weird how players perform better when you put them with better players. I know it's a strange and unique strategy, but when you put talented players with other talented players, good things usually happen. But, you know, one night he'd be on the fourth line, then he'd be on the second line, then he'd be scratched for two games, and he's back on the fourth line, then he's on, like...
Yeah.
Then he's on the power play, then he, like, yeah, yeah, like...
For a young player, that's counterproductive at mm-hmm. some point. Some guys can do it, a lot of guys can't at that age. You know, basically in your second full NHL season, and every time you come to the rink, you're playing something different with different line mates, that's got to be tough. And that can be a lot to do with the production not being where you want it. It's just 21 points in 67 games, I believe it was. So finding a specific role for him, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a guy that can move up and down the lineup. You want guys like that. But just because they can move up and down the lineup doesn't mean they have to move up and down the lineup every game. Pick a lane for our guy Phil and see what he does. That's going to be important. I think he could be a decent player, but he's got to have his role defined better.
I think what's challenging about Kurashev is he's probably not good enough offensively to be a permanent top six on a good team. He is not good enough defensively or physical enough to play a bottom six role consistently on a good team. So when he's kind of like a guy without a place to be. And when I see Kurashev, like if and when the Hawks get good again, somebody like Philip Kurashev is going to be the Brandon Peary. It's going to be the guy that's called up when one of your top six guys is hurt and you need to add some scoring punch. I do not think he's a top six NHL forward. And I don't see enough in his game. Like, yeah, you can move him up and down, but you put him on the third and fourth lines and he's basically invisible, right? He has to be a scoring threat to succeed. This year, he should at least early on get that opportunity. But I just don't like that. I think that's the problem with Kurashev is he's such a tweener. You know, like we're going to talk about later, like guys like Slagger and Entwistle and the myriad bottom six forwards the Blackhawks have in their system, they're all able to come up and play a physical style and get in front of the net and go into the corners and do all those things. And it's not to say Kurashev can't, but it's more of it's not his game. That's not, he's a scorer. He is supposed to be a scorer. And I just don't know if he's got the skills to be a regular NHL producer, which really leaves him in a tough spot when this team does start to compete again. And that's maybe why they see him on a 1-year deal. Cause it's like, look, we need some offense this year. This is a guy we can move up and down. We're not really looking to win. But when you're looking to win again, where is his spot? Yeah. I don't know. I don't see it. And I like him. I like Philip Kurashev a lot. I see him as like, we talk about in baseball, like a 4A player. I think Philip Kurashev is a 4A hockey player. You know,
it seems to me that like if he were to peak his skill set, I think he'd be great on like a third line on a good team that like they need him to produce some offensive pop and play like 13 to 14 minutes. I feel like that's like what he would do best in. I don't think that that's the role he's going to play on this team next season. I think he'll probably see some more minutes. He'll probably see some more responsibility. But I think that's just kind of by design of the lineup. Like you said, like once the Blackhawks fill out their lineup a little bit more with some more competitive, competent players in the forwards group, if Kurashev is still in the mix, I really don't know. I would assume unless he like breaks out in the next year or two, he'll eventually be buried in the lineup.
He's 22 years old. Last year for the Hawks, 67 games.
Just 22?
Yeah. Six goals, 15 assists. He'll be
23 before the season starts, I believe.
His birthday is not listed. Oh, here, October 12th. So right when the season begins,
he'll be 23. Happy birthday. Play the Avalanche.
By the way, kind of sounded like we're going, right? When we saw Brandon the other day.
Might be going to Denver.
I don't know.
Rocky Mountain High.
Let's go watch the Hawks lose 7-1 and then have to sit in a DNVR sports bar and wear it.
You know, there's worse plays. There's worse places to see that game than at the DNVR bar. So,
yeah, we'll handle that.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's interesting. And look, at 22 years old, entering age 23, this could be the year where he has a bit of a breakout. Look, he's not going to be Alex DeBrincat, but if you're looking at a 40-point guy instead of a 25-point guy or a 45-point guy, maybe someone in the 15-goal range.
Could he be Christopher Stieg of the 2010s?
I like that comp.
Maybe.
In terms of role, I really like that comp. Stieger seemed a little more...
He played more
a little more
edge
engaged, yeah.
Than I think I've seen Kurashev ever play.
Can Kurashev rap? That's the important question.
Well, we know Versteeg can't, so it shouldn't be an issue.
But in his head, he can.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Really he had the confidence that he could.
Can we do a Throwback Thursday episode on Chris Versteeg's rap chops?
We've been trying to get him on the show.
Let's see what he's up to.
One of my favorite Hawks of all time. I love him.
I can remember when he came out to do that, and I'm like, all right, now Steger's going to come out and rap. And it was like slow motion. I'm like, don't. This is a bad idea. This shouldn't happen. Please stop. And it was worse than I imagined.
Oh, yeah, Lord. It was.
He did it at both parades, 15 and 10, didn't he?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, this is so awful that it's amazing. That's how bad it was. Good for him. But, I mean, Kurashev, it's a make-or-break year for him. You hate to say that about a 23-year-old, but for this organization, I think this is the year he has to show that he's worth keeping around. And if it's another 21 points in 70 games, then he's probably on somebody else's team next year. I don't see them really investing much going forward if there's not a leap, or at least a nice step. I don't want to say a leap. He doesn't have to become a superstar, but he just has to show a little more something. And maybe a new coaching staff, a coaching staff that's here from day one, and you don't have all the uncertainty and the craziness of last year. You know, he knows who his coach is. He knows, hopefully he gets his role defined from day one, and you go with that and you see what happens. But I think if they really thought that they had something here, he would have gotten more than just the 1 year and the $750,000. So I think they're kind of telling him, hey, we like you. We just don't like you a ton. Go out and make us like you a ton.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's here's an opportunity, right? You're going
to
have
his
year
to do it because if there's ever a year for Philip Kurashev to become an important guy, this is the year, because as the rebuild moves forward and some of these young guys start making their way to Chicago, he's going to get pushed further and further down the lineup if he stays where he's at.
Yeah.
So this is his year to tell the Blackhawks, I'm a guy that it should be here for the long haul.
Well, and he has to look at it too, is if he can't make it stick on this Blackhawks team,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably looking at him going to Europe to play, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean he's young. He's got time to kind of figure stuff out like that. But yeah, I mean, I think a more stable coaching staff, in theory, and again in theory, a more stable front office this season should do wonders, I think, for a lot of the young players. And it's just the team in general. Not that, you know, we're looking to contend again this season, but I think it'll do, just even just day in and day out, we'll do a lot more good for players and good for them on more of the mental side of things. The more, you know, like you said, like coming into practice, coming into games, coming into the rink every day and not really knowing exactly what to expect, that's not a good environment to be in, especially if you're focusing on development. So I mean, hey, if Kurashev comes in, puts up 30 points this season, I mean, what's to say that they don't just give him another one-year deal and be like, hey, come on back. We'll give you one more try. We're probably not going to contend again next year anyways. And just see, you know, just see if it takes another year, takes another step. If there's small progressions, I think it's worth it for a guy at that age and that cheap. Because then once you get to the 2024 season, then we're talking, okay, are the wheels in motion? Are we looking at, you know, a Lucas Reichel being like, hey, he's in our top six squarely. He's a guy going forward. Are we looking at a Landon Slagert as like, he's out of college and he's moving forward. Like what are we looking at here at that point in time, that summer of 2024 leading into the 2024-25 season?
And it should be noted, but both guys are restricted free agents after these deals. So the Hawks will still have their rights. Caleb Jones will be arbitration eligible, so that's the only difference in the two contracts with those guys. But
I wonder with Luke Richardson here now, and Luke Richardson being pegged as the guy, not a stopgap coach, but the guy that's going to be here and be the coach when they're contending again. Whether that happens, we'll see how that plays out. But that's the idea. So having a guy like that here with a guy like Kurashev and some of these other younger players, how big of a difference is that going to make as far as the work they put into it or their mindset, knowing that, hey, if I want to stay in this team, I got to do what he says, as opposed to last year where you started with a Jeremy Colleton who was gone after, you know, 11 miserable games, and then Derek King, who never had that interim tag taken off, to where you're like, well, I'm just going to go through the motions because chances are you're not going to be my coach after this season. But now you got Luke Richardson here. He's the guy that's leading this team through the rebuild and beyond. Maybe that changes guys like Kurashev's mindset of saying, okay, I am going to like take more of what you say to heart. And not saying he didn't or anybody didn't with Derek King, but I'm just wondering how that will play out as far, between the ears with some of these guys. And with some of these guys, between the ears is a bigger battle than on the ice.
Sure. And I think just the opportunity to make a first impression for everybody, right? It's kind of a clean slate for everybody, and where Colleton had his favorites and King had his favorites, and before that Quenneville had his favorites, Luke Richardson will have his as well, right? But it's a clean slate for everybody to come into camp and show him, this is what I can do. This is how hard I work or don't. This is how much I can score or can't, right? And Richardson will find his guys and find the roles for them. It just seems like, you know, reading about Richardson over the last few years, that he comes in very open-minded, very flexible, not a guy who's like real like hard and fast on this is how we do things and pounding the table and stuff. Like even when they were talking about the Blackhawks system, he's like, well, I probably don't want to play man-to-man, but we're going to look and see what kind of roster we have and decide based on that. And then, of course, they said we're going to do a zone, as they should have. But, like, yeah, you know, he didn't completely write off, like, well, I don't know. I haven't seen the team yet, but I typically would not play man-to-man. But if that's what the roster demands, and that's what we'll do. So his
I don't think the roster demands it.
No, I don't think any does, honestly.
Nobody's does.
But the fact that he was even open-minded to discuss it is something, and I think a lot of players see that and see, okay, I'm going to have a clean slate here with this new coaching staff. And yeah, Derek King is here and knows me, but I don't think he's going to be, he will not be the final say on roster decisions. It really feels like Derek is almost like an advisor.
Like an associate coach.
Yeah, I would love to talk. I think we're going to talk to Derek soon, hopefully next week, maybe the week after. Because I would like to know, and he's not going to say, like, well, my role is to tell Luke who these people are. But I think...
Hey, he might.
Yeah, but like, but early on, that might be like his best asset is, I know it makes some of these younger guys tick. I've been with them in Rockford and Chicago. Here's what you need to know about dealing with these players and these people and this team in general.
Yeah, I think that's beneficial for Luke Richardson to have. For sure, to be able to have that insight, especially this first season where a lot of those guys are going to be players that King either, you know, had as a head coach in Rockford or was with last season as well, especially the younger players. Like, I don't think you're going to have to worry about, like, a guy like, you know, figuring, what is Seth Jones? What is Connor Murphy? Like, we know these guys. We know those guys.
Right. We should talk about Caleb. I feel like Caleb Jones is the least discussed hockey player in Chicago sports history. Honest to God, like,
really?
I don't know. He's just. I'm glad he's back. A 25-year-old with a bit of a pedigree, who has shown signs of being like very, very competent. He just. I think the reason that people don't really talk about him is because he's just kind of. He just does his thing, and there's something about a guy who's, you know, pretty reliable, doesn't make a ton of mistakes, isn't going to change a game one way or another, but you can put him out there for 12, 13 minutes a night, and nothing's going to go disastrously wrong. There's value in that, right? Like calm guy you can trust a little bit, and I think that's what Caleb Jones is, and while they need some roster spots filled out in the NHL, it makes perfect sense for him to get this deal. It's just how it feels. Like, there's just no, I don't have any real like feelings for him, good or bad. It's like, he's fine.
It'll likely be another rotational year for him unless he jumps out and was just like, nope, I'm a full-time starter.
Well, that would be great if he could do that.
Yeah, that's great.
If Caleb Jones is your sixth or seventh defenseman, you're fine. If Caleb Jones is your third or fourth defenseman,
not as good.
Like, yeah, things aren't going to plan. Guys have gotten hurt. Maybe somebody died. I don't know, but
jeez, I hope.
Good Lord.
Things happen.
Leave Rafi Torres out of this.
but he's a guy that last year did improve at the end of the year. Started, you know, when Murphy was out with an injuries and a couple other guys, DeHaan was missing games. Those last post-trade deadline games, he was playing like second pair minutes and was doing pretty good. Like, he had another guy, defined role, was given more confidence shown in him, and then that gave him, in turn, gave him more confidence on the ice. Another guy last year that was, okay, you're third pairing. Now you're out for two games. Now you're back in the third pairing. You're playing 8 minutes. You're playing 12 minutes. Like, that's got to take its toll.
Yeah.
But when he got more consistent play, and there was a few games towards the end of the year that he was getting 50, you know, he was getting close to that 20-minute mark and was doing fine.
He scored a couple goals late last year.
Yeah, he had more goals than Seth Jones, did he not? Or did they
was
have
it
the
more?
Same?
It was either more or tied. Either it was more or the same, but yeah.
Either way, it's not great. It
wasn't a lot.
Great for Caleb, but Seth, you're kind of like, come on, buddy.
Caleb had five.
They both had five. Yep, they both had five.
Yeah.
Granted, Seth had 36 more assists, but still, had you told me in the beginning of the year that Caleb and Seth Jones would have been tied in goals, I would have been like, yeah, put down the edibles, pal. You're high. and yet, here we are. So
that's what happens when you shoot 2.6% like Seth Jones did.
I want Caleb Jones to score the first Blackhawks power play goal by a defenseman this season. Wow. That would be fantastic. But... Caleb I like Caleb. Play. Yeah, let's get weird.
Let's get wild.
That's game why one. They didn't game score one. Any power play goals from defensemen last year, because Caleb Jones wasn't on the power play.
There's
your problem. I just solved it for you. Caleb is fine. Like, no, when he's out there, I don't get itchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like there's other guys that have been on this team that are still on this team or that will be on this team that you're like, ugh, I don't want him starting a defensive zone shift. I've never had that worry about Jones. Sure, he has his flaws. He's made his mistakes. But Jay, I think you described him perfectly. Very, very competent. That should be on his business card. Hi, I'm Caleb Jones, NHL defenseman. Very competent.
He is what he is, I feel like, at this point. I don't think there's a lot of room for him to get, like, to explode or anything like that into being like, yeah, he is definitely a second pair defenseman. I think he is what he is. He's a third pair defenseman. On a really good team, he'd be your seventh defenseman. So, yeah, I don't think there's any issue with him being in the rotation. He's gonna push some of these young players in the defensive group for playing time. He's gonna make Ian Mitchell work to earn ice time. He's gonna make Alex Vlasic and Alec Regula and Isaac Phillips, he's gonna make them work for ice time because he has the experience over them. He has, you know, I don't want to say he's maybe more skilled than them, but he's more established in his skill set right now than some of those guys are. So, you know, he's there to push those guys to get better and be better and take minutes away, which is what you want those young guys to eventually do. So,
yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with him.
And there's a chance for his role to increase as well, based on when you look at guys like Connor Murphy, Jake McCabe. Those are definitely trade candidates at some point in the season if they both are healthy and play well. Those are definitely guys that, you know, come trade deadline, we'll probably be getting some phone calls about. So, you know, there's a chance for him to be a trooper, hold down that third pairing, help the young guys, and then maybe second half of the season you're up on the second pairing if one of those or both of those guys are traded.
All right, the other bit of news we got to get to today is the broadcast news. We're going to get to that, but first, got to tell you about our friends at PointsBet. It is the absolute best way to support us here at CHGO. Download that app. When you do, use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. You'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you do that, go ahead and deposit $50 or more for your first-time deposit. That's going to get you a free CHGO membership. That gets you all of our web content and even a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So for a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet, you're going to get $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt, all that for that $50 or more first-time deposit. It's your home for live in-play betting. Play along while you watch. The NFL is right around the corner, and those in-game bets are so much fun. You know, you just pick who's going to have the lead at halftime, who's going to, you know, score the next touchdown. What's the point spread going to be in the third quarter? On and on and on. These in-game bets are so much fun to play. So download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
I'm going to do a little self-patting on the back here.
Uh-oh.
If you listened to yesterday's episode and you took our advice on the points bet pick of the week, taking the Cubs to be leading after the first three innings, wah, 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 you're a winner. So, we sometimes know what we're talking about.
Congratulations, Mario. You are officially the points bet play of the week guy until you
Let's
lose.
Go.
So, yeah, there Let's you go. Go. No pressure.
I'm ready. Heavy hey, is the head that wears the crown.
And if you were smart enough to listen to Mario yesterday and make that bet on the Cubs, you could take those huge winnings you got on your points bet app, cash those out, and head over to our friends at FOCO and buy yourself some awesome officially licensed Chicago gear. That's right.
Do they have a Harry Carey hologram bobblehead?
Not yet, but they will be. I think that's an NFT. I don't think you get the actual physical bobblehead, but we'll keep our eyes peeled for that hologram bobblehead. But CHGO has teamed up with FOCO to secure your access to the best collectibles and gear around. Whether it's Bears, Cubs, White Sox, Blackhawks, or Bulls, FOCO will have something for you, your kid, a friend, or a loved one. I even saw that they have a whole bunch of really cool WWE bobbleheads. So yeah, they know how to get to me. So if you're looking for some new gear, collectibles, or accessories, FOCO has officially licensed gear for men, women, kids, with everything from those bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. FOCO has got you covered with the best Chicago merchandise of your favorite team. Head on over to FOCO, that's FOCO.com, And then use the promo code CHGO at checkout for 10% off all non-presale items. Go check them out. Grab yourself some cool gear.
Do it. FOCO is really cool. I was looking at it the other night, and there is so much cool stuff on there. Yes, jump on FOCO, jump on PointsBet, all those great things. And we got some other stuff to tell you about later in the show. But the news from yesterday, Jeff Agrist, who is a sports media columnist for the Sun-Times, published a big piece with sort of some brain droppings on all things broadcast, like Odyssey is going to lose to Chicago Bears.
Oof.
Good move there. There's another in the long line of good moves. That whole thing is happening, but Patrick Sharp seems to be the man the Blackhawks are trying to convince to replace Eddie Olczyk. I saw some mixed reviews on that. Most people were saying, oh, cool, Sharpie. Love Sharpie. Some people
people are good with it. Yeah,
I think I will say as a broadcaster, I think he needs a little bit of work. He's not bad. I think his biggest issue is like the energy level. I think sometimes he comes off as a little bit monotone, a little bit detached from the game. It's something that I've had to work on throughout my career because I just sort of have that monotone kind of conversational, low key kind of a guy, and it's a very hard thing to overcome, but it comes with reps and it comes with practice.
Yeah.
So I think if he gets the job and is the guy for the better part of 82 games, he's going to get better. And I think the analysis is there. The ability is there. Now I think it's just a matter of, does he want to do it? And that's kind of been my question about Sharp all along with not just the Hawks, but just with the NBC stuff back in the day. Is he interested in having this as a full-time career? And I guess that's the question the Hawks need to answer.
Yeah. Well, in the piece with from the Sun-Times from Jeff Agrist, he also mentions that, you know, Sharp and his family live out in Connecticut. So does he want to, you know, live temporarily in Chicago during the season and also do all the traveling and all that too? Or does he just want to pop in from time to time? I think if NBC still had the rights, that's a good place to be living out there in Connecticut to do some NBC stuff. But, you know, I think for Sharp, he was really good in the studio role when he was with NBC. He did pretty good in between the benches when he's done that for NBC Chicago and for Hawks games and for the national games when he did it. But yeah, I think in the booth, he's good. He's knowledgeable. But yeah, I think the energy thing is something that might be something he would have to work on. I think one of the reasons of many that I think people really like that Sharp is potentially in the mix is that he's not Colby Cohen. And I think a lot of people, for whatever reasons, are just so anti Colby that it's just like, you know, you mentioned Patrick Sharp and it's like, yes, anything, you know, but I don't know. I wonder if he'll be even just a part-time person, because also mentioned in the article is that if Sharp does it, but he's just part-time, then Troy Murray would be another, like, fill in the gaps kind of option, which is great. Troy's great. I think he's obviously tremendous on the radio broadcast. So I think it'd be easy for him to transition to doing the TV broadcast. You know, he's been doing it for many years. He has the reputation of being trustworthy as a voice for the team. But with that, I wonder then, okay, well then what is the radio call end up becoming because Nick Olczyk's not there anymore. So I don't know.
I'm tired of the rotation.
Yeah.
Get somebody in, like, whatever they do, it's gotta be permanent. Like, you gotta find somebody.
82 guy. You got a brand new first time play by play guy, get him a partner that the two of them can work on 82 games worth of chemistry. Get a permanent guy. I mean, granted, Edzo wasn't permanent the last few handfuls of season with all his net. Get a guy here for 82 games. get somebody that's going to grow with Chris Foster's and the two of them become a duo together over the next 5, 10, 20 years, whatever it is.
Right.
Sharp, I think, would be fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he doesn't have a ton of experience in the booth, but he would have the knowledge. He knows what he's talking about. And something that makes me optimistic that he would grow and become much better is because those first few times he was in studio, he had deer in headlight syndrome. He was like stiff as a board and like, ugh, I don't know if this is going to work. But as he got more time, he loosened up. He got better at it. Because he was able to do that, I have no doubts that, sure, those first few games might be rough, but as the season goes along, he'll get better. And if you can't be energetic with Chris Foster sitting next to you, then you something's wrong with you. Yeah, that dude is a ball of energy. Yeah, like if you're just going to sit there and be meh sitting next to Foster's, then you need to go to the doctor because there's something physically wrong with you.
I think any sort of growing pains you're going to experience with Sharp or whoever, this is the year to do it. Right, yeah.
Ratings are going to be at an all-time low.
Yes, let the whoever, if it's Kaylee Chelios, if it's Chris Chelios, if it's Patrick Sharp, if it's Troy Murray, if it's whoever, give them the bulk of the 82 to sit there together and work it out. The rotation,
the full season.
The rotation is bad for everybody. Fans are tired of it. Yeah. I'm sure Vosters is tired of it. He's got a hard enough task coming in here trying to replace Pat Foley and sort of simultaneously Eddie Olczyk.
Right.
At least give him the luxury of a consistent partner. I don't like the idea of interchanging and flip-flopping, even if it's two. If it's Troy for 40 and it's Sharpie for 42, whatever it might be, that's a little bit better. But man, it's just... But then with the radio booth is screwed, because then Weidemann's without Troy, and that is such a great broadcast.
Right.
It's just, I don't know, it's ugly. And this is what happens when you... When you let this happen, that would happen with Eddie. Whoever you want to blame, whatever percentage you want to assign, it should have gotten done, and you wouldn't be in this predicament.
They effed around, and now they're finding out. Yes. That's the term the kids like to use these days. But, even in the days with Olczyk and Foley, when Olczyk was on national duty and you had Steve Conroy in the booth, it was a completely different broadcast.
Absolutely.
Foley and Conroy were completely different than Foley and Edzo. And you got to have – this is the year, as you said, Jay, to just do it. So by the time this team is worth watching again, you have a duo that's now got 2, 3, 4 seasons under their belt and are clicking, and people that come back – go, well, I miss Pat and Eddie. Oh, but these guys are pretty good. Okay, they're entertaining. Right. I like them. You know, this is the time to do it. Just like we talk about with Philip Kershaw. This is the year to give him an expanded role. This is the year to give your new broadcast team 82 freaking games. Just permanent. I don't care who it is. Just make it permanent.
Yeah, you gotta figure out what you've got. I just, like I said, the rotation impacts everybody. It's very, I did that. I know it's a little bit different, but back when I was at the Score with McNeil and Spiegel, it was like Mac was off several times a week. There was a time where he missed like 3 months, and every day Spiegel had a different host. And it was like, how do we even do a show? How do you even like plan? And how do you come up with segments? And how do you like everything's different every day. You've got to have that consistency. The not only does the audience want it, but Vosters is going to want it. The crew is going to want it. They need to know, you know, if Chris Vosters needs his green tea with no brown M&Ms or whatever, like his little nuanced things are.
Vosters loves his brown M&Ms.
And I'm sure Eddie had his little things and Pat had his little things. Those are all things that like the producers need to deal with and be ready for. And if they have to learn in 3 or 4 new personality types as the year goes on, it just is a really bad situation for everybody. So hopefully... Really easy. Patrick Sharp's like, hell yeah, let's do it. I'm in. 82 games, boom, let's go. And they do it and make it work, and it works out well, and the chemistry grows, and you've got your next broadcast team for the next at least 5 or 6 years. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be a great setup.
Yeah.
And it would be good because you got two very likable guys that are now the faces of your organization from the broadcast standpoint. You know, Sharp is a beloved player from an era of the golden era of this franchise, you know, the most successful era. He's a beloved player. And I think as time goes on, people are going to really warm up to Chris Foster's as well, just because of his personality and just what a really good down the earth guy he is. You know, we've had him on twice, and I think people have gotten a peek inside of who he is as a person. And he's just a likable guy. So you get two likable guys up there, it's going to make things work.
Let's hope they don't figure that out here or we're all screwed.
Yeah.
It's a really handsome booth. Also, Chris Foster's will be there.
Yeah. Jeez.
Ouch. Wow.
I texted him that this morning. It's fine. I sent him
that was a pre-approved joke. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Nice, he was a very professional, kind of a no comment, just chuckled at the text.
Nice.
So no confirmation from Chris. No. But
Chris is a very self-deprecating guy. He fits in well with his group.
Yeah. Anyway. Got some more stuff to get to. It's crazy how it's August 12th and we keep finding things to talk about.
A lot of stuff.
The World Junior Championships have been really good, especially if you're Team Canada or Team USA, and especially if you're a Hawks prospect. Man, Landon Slaggart is just making a name for himself. Two more points playing on the top line last night. Scored a goal, had an assist. His goal came on a deflected shot from Blackhawks defenseman Wyatt Kaiser. A point shot that where Landon Slaggart seems to live right in the slot in front of the net, making things happen for Team USA. So he has a point. No points for Dominic James last night, but he looked good in the game as well.
He won most of his faceoffs, so that's good.
Yeah, this I got to tell you, the IIHF website is not great.
No.
I can't I'm looking at the box score and I can't like scroll past the points department.
So, yeah, they don't really have that available to the public much.
They don't put a lot of time on ice or face-offs or anything. They basically just give you the basics.
Here's your points. That's basically it. But
there's clearly something there, but I can't scroll. It looks like a sideways scrolling menu, but I can't sideways scroll it. So cool.
Well,
way to grow the game.
That's a problem.
Make your information really, really
difficult. Well, they need sponsorships on the boards for you to unlock those columns.
Yeah, right.
We don't
have enough money to fix the website.
They don't have the financing for this for the side
scroll.
Blame
Tim Hortons for saying, "Nip, we're not sponsoring it."
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as the prospects go, it's been a really good showing so far for the three U.S. players. Slaggart especially has come right out of the gate and established himself as not just, hey, I'm just going to be an energy guy on the top line, but he's like, hey, I'm also going to make things happen. I think he was on the ice for, I think, three or four of the U.S.'s seven goals, obviously an assist on one of them. He scored one of them. Another one, he was just inches away from tipping the puck, providing a screen. So yeah, he is definitely like we talked about numerous times this week. His role is going to be that player that goes to the difficult areas of the ice and will make a living out of getting the puck back for more skilled players, going into the corners, going behind the net, going in front of the net, and doing a lot of those things. And he is so far been a doing very well with the net front presence there for Team USA for their top line. Kaiser as well has been playing some pretty good minutes. I think he got the assist last night. Dominic James has been playing very effectively, so that's really good to see. Ethan Del Mastro got into the game yesterday for Canada, didn't play a ton in their 11-1 romping, but he was able to get into the game, and good for him. I mean, he's probably going to end up being scratched the rest of the way, but good for him to get into the lineup and get some ice time in the tournament. And Victor Schoenborg was playing a depth role for Sweden, and I believe they won their game. It was either yesterday or was it yesterday? Yesterday or Wednesday? I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, it's been Wednesday they played. Okay, yeah. So it's been a good showing. Connor Bedard looks great. So future Hawk on the board. Gonna be fun to have him in a Blackhawks uniform.
Which of Mason McTavish's 6 points was your favorite last night?
The second one.
Point number four.
Good lord, that's a man among boys, man. Jeez. That guy is.
Oh yeah, yeah. Didn't he play? He played all year in the NHL, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
No, he had his 9 games, and then they.
Who am I thinking of?
Okay. With Columbus.
Sillinger, the guy taken with the Blackhawks.
With the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was.
McTavish 3 points in 9 games for
Ducks
Anaheim.
Ducks are going to be pretty good, boys. They're going to have a nice little team out there in Anaheim. McTavish, out of those three,
Zegras.
Out of those three California teams, the Sharks, don't sleep on them. I think they're going to be pretty good in 2-3 years, too.
Thomas
But Bolo. Out of those three teams, I think Anaheim is going to be the best one right now. I know the Kings get a lot of love because they made the playoffs last year, but that is because somebody had to make the playoffs from that division. Going forward for the next 10 years, if you give me the choice of those three California teams on which one I want to have, I'm going with the Ducks. Mason McTavish and Trevor Zegras, thank you. Yeah,
Jamie Drysdale as well.
If they could just get, you know, and they got a good young goaltender coming up the ranks too. I know, you know, they still got John Gibson, but John Gibson's kind of, you know, I think his best years are behind him.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's kind of declined really quickly. Not that he's terrible by any means, but maybe he'll have a Jonathan Quick resurgence and all of a sudden get good again in his 30s. But I take the Ducks right now out of those three teams. You give me those three total organizational depth rosters from top to bottom, I'll take the Ducks over the Kings and the Sharks. So I think the Sharks are going to be pretty good. I love William Eklund, who we're not seeing in this tournament because he's going to be with the Sharks this year. So those three-game trips through California are going to be hell for Eastern Conference teams in the next couple of years. Not a lot of points going to be had out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking at the Hawks guys, you know, I saw our buddy Tab Bamford yesterday on Twitter made a comp to Ryan Hartman for Landon Slaggart. And I thought, it's interesting in terms of, like, type of player, skill set, that sort of thing. I don't know if Slaggart will ever have that sort of output offensively.
I don't think he's got the Hartman edge. I think he plays fast, physical, gritty, but I don't think he's going to punch many people in the mouth. Or try to, at least.
We'll see. I mean, he might have to learn how to do that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. They don't really do that in college.
But you talk about, does he have the offensive output of Ryan Hartman? Ryan Hartman didn't have the offensive output of Ryan Hartman until this past season. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm going to go on a limb here and say half a season because, like, you know, shocking, he came back to earth the second half of the season in the postseason. So, yeah, that's a decent comp, I think. Maybe not as physical, but I don't know what kind of player Ryan Hartman was at 19 years old either. I wasn't following him along. So, people love the Brendan Hagel comp. That seems to be the, hey, if he could just be Brendan Hagel, we'll be okay. You know, he's the standard we hold all of our prospects to these days. I don't know if he's as fast as Brendan Hagel or maybe. I don't know, but how about Landon Slaggart just be the first Landon Slaggart in Blackhawks history? Like, sure. Go out and be your own dude. You can be, you know, that's what I always love about these prospects. He could be the next guy. I'm like, just be the first, whoever he is. Like, just be his best player. Like, we don't need to comp everybody to everybody else. It gets exhausting after a while.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah, that's YouTube's job. You guys can do that. I'm just going to sit here and...
Who's the next McDavid?
Bedard.
Connor Bedard.
Man, he is so... If you haven't been watching Canada, by the way, just even... Bedard had... I think he had 2 points in the game, but he's just like...
The opening goal.
He thinks it looks so freaking easy.
And this is what you saw... And don't get me wrong. Gretzky and Lemieux and McDavid have this ability to, like, see what's going to happen like three plays before it happens, right? Like, that vision of... I know if I do this, this guy's going to be right here, and I'm going to get the puck there. But Bedard seems to have that sort of supernatural vision of what's going to happen on the ice. He is just, I'm telling you, just from watching a handful of games in this tournament, you can see that he thinks of the game at a higher level than a lot of his teammates. And, like, McTavish is super, super skilled and is going to be a really good NHL player too, but it's that ability to see the game differently that separates the greats, right? And I think we could probably say Patrick Kane has that ability a little bit too, where it's just he almost never takes a big hit. He knows where everybody is on the ice all the time. He knows how to sneak pucks through people. Like, Kane's got that ability too.
Not many people who can perform a spinning backhand no-look pass and know exactly where the puck is going to go.
Yeah.
Like, you can have all the speed, all the skill in the world, but if your head is a rock, you're not going to go very far.
Damn it.
Obi-Wan Bedard. That's who he is. He's a Jedi.
Yeah.
Check his midi-chlorian counts.
So
Baby Yoda.
Slaggart is the, I would say, of the three in the tournament, for Team USA, he's the closest NHL, right? I think we're looking at not this coming season, but probably the year following for him would be his real shot at making the team.
Well, he's gonna play in Notre Dame this year.
We'll see him at least in Rockford after his college. I gotta imagine once the college season is over this year, he's gonna go pro. And so maybe he plays the last month of the season in Rockford, gets hopefully some playoff games with the Ice Hogs this year. Maybe they throw him a bone at the end of the year. You know, hey, he's called up from college. Let's give him, you know, let's put him in the lineup here in Chicago for two games, you know, the last two games of the regular season. Reward him for, you know, a good season. So that's how but as far as being a full-time NHL player, probably two seasons away at least.
Two seasons away, yeah.
He'll be with Rockford next year and let him again. There's no, and we're going to get into in a moment here. There's no need to rush anybody. So
I feel like
out of those three guys, he's probably the guy that becomes a regular Blackhawk before the other
first.
Two.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of time for a lot of these prospects to develop. You know, we have been preaching patience to fans and listeners, and the team, I believe, is also preaching that to the prospects themselves. Like, hey, like, understand, like, you're going to have some time to develop. Don't feel like you need to, you know, be in the NHL when you're 20. I feel like there's very few players and prospects right now in the system that are on track to be in the NHL by the time they're 20. You know, Lucas Reichel is like we mentioned earlier, it seemed from what Scott Power said and what it seems like he understands from what the team is planning to do with Reichel is that he may start the season in Rockford. He played the majority of the season in Rockford last year. I don't think he plays the majority of the season in Rockford this year. I think maybe he starts the season in Rockford. I think very quickly he will establish himself as saying like, hey, we're done with this AHL thing. I think we're ready for the NHL. I think that's coming for Reichel. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that until or unless they get a player like Connor Bedard or Adam Fantilli or anyone like that, I don't think we're looking at a player in the Blackhawks system that is going to be in the NHL by or before their 20th birthday.
So the quote here from Powers, and this was in his Tuesday mailbag. He also released one today if you want to check that out, too, with The Athletic. Quote, from everything I've heard, the Blackhawks are planning on Reichel to at least start the year with the Ice Hogs. To me, I thought that was a surprise. And maybe I shouldn't have. I just have sort of been penciling Reichel in as an opening night player. I mean, they burned his first year of his contract last year. He played, what was it?
15
games? Yeah. No, 11 games last year for the Hawks.
11.
So, like, it just seemed like that was the plan. And obviously nothing has happened between now and then for him to lessen his value. And I understand the patience thing, so I'm not panicked about it. But I just wonder how much more there is for him to show at Rockford at this point, right? Like, he's already shown, like, okay, I'm a pro. I can go down there and play. I can produce. I can play in all sorts of different roles. Like, I think now is the time. And I don't feel like starting him in Chicago is really rushing him by any means. I think it's just he's proven that he's ready for the next step of his career. That's sort of how I think patience is good, but you shouldn't just be patient for the sake of it. If a player is showing you he's ready, by all means, let the player show you he's ready. And then if he's not, you can send him back. I don't know. I think Reichel has done everything he needs to do to earn a spot on the opening night roster. And if he tears it up in the preseason, they're going to send him down for what?
Yeah,
I don't like the predetermined, if that's their thing. Like, hey, you're starting in Rockford. Let Reichel decide where Lucas Reichel starts the season.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Obviously, let him play his way.
Yeah, maybe they're telling him that maybe as a little motivation to maybe get him saying, "Oh, I'll show you. Screw you. I don't want to go to the Olive Garden anymore. I want to eat real Chicago food." Like, so maybe that's just, hey, let's put that out there so he can kind of be like, know that his spot isn't guaranteed, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I'm all for patience. We've gone through the list of players that they rushed to the NHL and stunted growth. I'm all for patience. But if he's ready, he's ready. Put him in there. If he's not, like, there's no reason why he's not one of the 12 best forwards in training camp. If he's not, I don't know. Something's not right here. So again, I'm all about patience, but if he's ready, play him, put him out there. This is his time to see, you know, let him go. Let him get his growing pains at the NHL level in a season where there's no pressure to win. Right. If he's not ready, then yes, start him in Rockford again, call him up in November, but let Lucas Reichel tell you where Lucas Reichel needs to start in October.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, that's going to be the story of the preseason and the early season, is what is going on with Lucas Reichel. He's going to be the player to watch this year, because he is the first piece of the next generation of Hawks you look at and say, this guy will be here when they're good again. So how does he look? And maybe there is a little bit of pressure in that, and that, hey, like, all eyes on Lucas this year. But whether they call it, whether he starts the season day one in Colorado or if it's in November, that's not going to change the story. It's not going to change the expectation. So right. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to watch. I expect him to be really solid in the preseason and kind of just not allow them to send him down. Mm-hmm. That would be best case scenario.
I like you said, Greg, like, I can't see a scenario in which Reichel is not one of the 12 best forwards that we see through training camp in the preseason.
Yes.
And I don't think he should be put in a position to say, like, hey, prove that you should be in the NHL.
He's done that. He's proved it.
Yeah. I think he's looked completely fine at the NHL level. I think he's had an off season to, you know, grow a little bit more into his own body and develop. He's still, what, 19, 20 years old? Yeah. So he's still developing. He's able to put a little weight on, put a little muscle on, something that, you know, he needed to do. And, you know, I think he shouldn't be in a position to say, hey, prove that you can be in Chicago. To me, I would go into it and say, like, unless he plays his way into Rockford, there's no reason he shouldn't be on the team to start the year. At allchgo.com, when I went through the projected lineup, I had him in a top six role, because also, how many months do we have of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane still on this team? I think it's beneficial to play Reichel with the ability to play with those guys as much as possible before one or both of them are gone.
That's a great point, because you don't want him getting called up in November, December, and then a couple weeks later, like, congratulations, you're 1C.
Right.
You're officially the best player on the team.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting some time with those guys, even if it's not on their line, with them on the team to alleviate some of the pressure from
watching them in practice, watching them conduct themselves off the ice. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watching them on off days, all that stuff. Listen, Reichel averaged a point per game as a 19-year-old in the AHL, which is a grown-ass man's league.
Yep.
Like, that is a tough league to produce in. It is full of grizzled veterans that will punch you in the face.
Dudes fighting for their NHL dreams.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a tough league to produce for a 19-year-old who's never played in North America to come here and average a point per game in that league. Screams from the mountaintops he is ready for the NHL.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he should definitely have a big opportunity.
But if he's got to bulk up, Mario, anything you could recommend that might help him add some LBs? I can help him get fatter.
I don't know if that's what he's looking
for. Functional weight for the NHL.
What does Lucas Reichel need?
He could use some Owen. O-W-Y-N, standing for only what you need. It is a 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you nutrition that works just as hard as you do. All of Owen's products are free of artificial ingredients. They are allergen-friendly. They don't contain any gluten or dairy, therefore making them a little bit more easily digestible. You may have heard about Owen from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who also follows a plant-based diet. Right now, Owen and CHGO are partnering up to give you an awesome offer where you can get 20% off of your first purchase when you go to liveowen.com and use the promo code CHGO20. So if you're like Lucas Reichel, trying to add some muscle to your frame, or if you're like Justin Fields, trying to muscle the Bears to a victory, get yourself some Owen. That's O-W-Y-N, only what you need. Yeah, get a pony pump of that.
All right. Well, that was a fun week, man. We keep dreading, the month of August.
When's this offseason going to start dragging?
Oh, it's going to. But then we're going to have games really soon.
The World Juniors goes to August 20th, and then the Tom Curver Summer Showcase starts September 14th.
Korchinski's going to play in that, by the way, from what I understand.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of the rookies in that.
Yeah.
Maybe not the college guys, because their seasons will be, like, almost underway, or at least school year will be. But I think we're gonna see a lot of the CHL guys, maybe a couple of the European guys. That'll be fun to watch.
Then the preseason begins.
Yeah, and then it's training camp.
And then we're off to Denver.
There you go.
Woohoo! Denver and Vegas, baby. Let's do it.
Season starts.
Can't wait. All right, fellas, have a great weekend. That goes for all of you listening as well. Even those of you who are mad about Caleb Jones and Philip Kurashev, we hope everybody has a great weekend. Thanks for the continued support of the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. One reminder here before we wrap up for the week, make sure you're subscribed on your podcast app. Wherever you're listening, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications so you know when these audio-only podcasts drop. And if you're really feeling feisty and feeling friendly, and you got 45 seconds for us, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That would be massively helpful. That could be a random act of kindness for the week.
There you go.
Just write a couple sentences about, hey, great Blackhawks coverage, love listening to the guys. 5 stars, that goes so far for podcasters. And I'll tell you this too, by the way, a 4-star Apple Podcast review is basically the equivalent of 0 stars. So it's just, trust me, 5-star review. If you love a podcast, even if it's not perfect, if you love a podcast, give it 5 stars, leave it a brief review, and it's really, really helpful. So if you could do that for us, we would greatly appreciate it. All right, we're going to wrap things up. For Mario and Greg, I'm Jay. We'll talk to you Monday at 11 on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.